Amen. Very good. Beautiful song. And what a great truth. That's exciting. I just, he picked up that trumpet, and I'm that's what I'm listening for, is that trumpet. Amen. And the Lord is going to come. I don't know if it'll be now or tomorrow or next week or when, but we know he's coming, and it could be any of those, anytime. And that's exciting. What a blessing. Well, Deuteronomy 6, and I call your attention to our text, and that is in verse 20, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Father, I pray that you will bless the time that we have now in thy word. I pray you'll speak to our hearts. Thank you for good music. Thank you for good Sunday school classes, and just thank you for everyone being here. And Lord, help us to realize it's not an accident that we're here. We're here because you brought us here and you have something for us. Please help us to listen and to learn and to be different because of today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled the message, Why Do These Things? Why Do These Things? And verse 20, and I think that's a wonderful verse. I love that verse. And I've loved it for many, many years. When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? To me, that is a wonderful thing when your children ask you that question. It's wonderful as a pastor when somebody asks me that question. Why do we do these things? Why do people go up there in the back and get wet? Why do we do that? As a pastor, people don't grow up in church all the time, especially when you have a soul winning ministry and you have a bus ministry. People don't know why you do all those things. I was one of those people. I didn't understand any of that. I had to ask. I remember when I first started going to church, when Brenda and I were dating, and I had to ask. Why do they pass that plate? I mean, I know what's all in it and everything, but why do they do it that way? Why do people get in that back there and get all wet? And it is a wonderful thing when your children ask you that question, when your grandchildren ask you that question. It's wonderful when they're asking, okay, well, why do we do it? You know, the sad thing is, though, for some folks, preacher, I don't want them to ask me. I'm going to send them to you, or I'm going to send them to somebody else. You ought to be able to answer them. Now, if you'll follow Deuteronomy 6, I think it will help you immensely. I believe with all my heart. Now, again, they're going to ask somewhere along the line. People are going to ask you. Your neighbors are going to, why do you do that? What, you know, Sunday nights you go to church. Why do you do that? And don't be afraid of it. Don't be frightened by people asking, people at work asking you why you go to church, why you pray, why you have your Bible. Don't be afraid in school when people say, hey, well, you know, why do you carry your Bible? Why do you, you're in church all the time. And don't be afraid when they ask, why do these things? Give them an answer and give the right answer. And of course, that'll be, we'll get to that here in a few minutes. But I just want to go through this passage and just show you some things. Number one is the admonition. God does tell us clearly and commands us how we're supposed to live. And especially he gives reference to the home here. In verse 6, he says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I mean, he's commanding that these words be in our hearts. If you're a parent, grandparent, you need to understand this is a command. God says, I want my words in your heart. I want these words. I want you to have them in your heart. And, obviously the best place and the best way for us to explain anything is if it comes from our heart. You can always go through a list of instructions, and that doesn't mean as much as if it comes from our heart, and especially in the area of God and our salvation. You don't ought to come from our heart. He says, I want you to have these words. I want them in your heart. They shall be in your heart. And he says in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Well, I mean, he covers all the time of the day. He covers our home and what it should be like. I mean, we should have the Word of God in our hearts, And we should teach the Word of God and talk about the Word of God and talk about the things of God all the time. I mean, there's not a time that is not covered there. And again, in reference to our homes, that's how it ought to be in our homes. That's how it ought to be in your home. That's how it ought to be if you have small children, if you're a grandparent, if you have no children. That's how our homes ought to be right there. We ought to have the Word of God in our heart. We should talk about the Word of God. We should teach it to those that we teach. I mean, that's the admonition from the Scripture. God commands it. God said this isn't just a suggestion. This is how, again, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get to that place when they say, why do you do all those weird things? Why do you do that? I remember as a new convert, I remember even as an unsaved teenager, I remember watching things happen in church, and I just could not begin to understand it. I remember as a new convert listening and watching and not understanding, but eventually getting to the place where the preacher had preached enough and teachers had taught enough that I finally said, hey, why do we do this? You know, I went to Bible college and was still a new convert and knew very little about things. Thank God that I was able to talk to people who could tell me why we do these things. Thank God I was able to be around people and certainly not in their home, but in our group there in college of folks that talked about the things of God and folks that taught the things of God so that I could learn and I could ask any question. Do you know that our children should be able to ask any question? Amen. I understand. You know, some parents, oh, just leave me alone. You know, you're just being rebellious. And answer the question. My wife, a lot of girls write to her, and particularly she's been answering all kinds of unique questions. She needs to put it into a book, honestly. She has lists of questions, and there are all kinds of questions. I'm talking about anything and everything. And you know, I think in some cases, some of these girls, maybe they ask mom or dad, and they say, well, you know, ask Mrs. Rogers or something. I don't know, because there's so many questions. But it's okay, it's all right. And sometimes she'll say, honey, you know, here's one of these questions, and how's this answer sound? And it's wonderful. And you say, well, you know, I don't think they ought to listen. If they want to know the answer, give them the answer. I mean, it's the whole idea. That's why God says, hey, this, look, verse 20 is the result of a life of talking of and living and teaching and preaching the Word of God. It's the result. Hey, Sunday school teacher, those young people that you teach, when they ask you a question, what a wonderful thing. They're listening. They're paying attention. They just want to argue. They ask. Give them the answer. But it all starts with this right here. And in the home, very clearly, this is how it all starts. If you have little children, you have children at home, teenager, whatever. If you're a grandparent, I mean, this is the way it should be in your home. This is where it all starts. It starts with the parents. Verse 6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Is it in your heart? Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as Savior? I'm going to tell you, young people today, they are not going to be interested in a salvation that you don't possess. It's going to be hard to get them interested. I mean, I understand many times, our bus workers, they go out and knock on doors, and we bring in a lot of kids where maybe the parents are not saved, and they'll get saved, but it is a very rare thing. I mean, most of the families out there, if mom and dad's not saved, kids aren't saved. By far, that's the way most of it is. I mean, they're not even going to have an interest. That's why, again, to be a bus worker and to go knock on doors and to have vacation Bible school and have all these different outreach. You know, people say, well, you know, you guys, hey, you give away things to get kids in. Yeah, because it's not easy to get them in. Because, again, they aren't hearing it at home. I never heard it in my home. My parents never talked about the things of God. My parents, it was never there. And I'm just saying, you know, in your home, you need to be saved, mom and dad. If you're not saved, you say, well, I've got everybody faked out. You have no one faked out. And kids pick up on hypocrisy very quickly. Very quickly. Saved. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Do you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And is that obvious to them? Is Christ your Savior? You know, it talks about... teaching them diligently. And this, you know, verses 6 and 7, and I know we've all heard a lot of preaching on that, and I'm not just staying on that, but this is a life right here of walking with God as a family. This is a life. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Talk of what? Talk of the Word of God. And use the Word of God. You know, we talk about discipline, and I understand the Bible, you know, there's no question about paddling and all of that. There's no question about that scripturally. I don't care what the psychologists and the fruitcakes are all saying today. That is what God says we're to do. But if you don't use the Word of God when you discipline, all you are doing is beating. Because discipline is teaching, and there is no teaching without using the Word of God. Discipline is to teach. And again, God says, talk of them, the Word of God. Talk about it. When you pray together and you pray, you know, your kids ought to know that you pray. Your kids ought to hear you pray. Not just good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. I'm talking about prayer. They ought to know that you pray. They ought to know that you have your answers to prayer. Again, you talk about those things. You talk about the Scripture. You talk about God's promise. And you say, hey, kids, we're claiming God's promise. And they see it. And they know it. You say, well, I'm just not that spiritual. You ought to be. For their sake. And you read the Bible. Not only personally, but you read the Bible together. And it's a home. It's a life where God is, he's our Savior, and he is our guide, and he's everything to us. He's the most important thing in our lives. And you know, as a small child, if that is the way it is in your home, as a small child, they'll say, why do we do these things? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? David was, I believe, 4 years old when he first started asking about being saved. We didn't talk to him. We didn't corner him someday and say, you will get saved, buddy. You're wicked. We didn't do that with our children at all. I just preached and taught. We had devotions together, and we read our Bible. We prayed. We talked of Scripture all the time as our kids were growing up. And it was just a matter of eventually, one day, I remember with David anyway, he just said, Dad, I don't want to go to hell. Now that's the way it ought to be. And for a while, we just kind of put him off a little bit just to make sure that he's not, he really understands what's going on here. And again, that he doesn't understand justification and propitiation, and I think they ought to understand and have catechism. No, I just want to make sure he understands he's a sinner and he needs to be saved. And they will ask. They will talk about it. They'll ask about baptism. You should never have to take your kid and twist their arm behind them. You will get baptized. You should never have to do that. It should be, hey, I want to get baptized. You should be saying to them, hey, wait a minute. Now, let's make sure you understand what you're doing here when you get saved. Make sure you understand that you're a sinner and understand what sin is and go through those things and lead them to Christ. They will ask. They'll ask about these things. Why do we do these things? Dad, why do we read the Bible? Why do we pray? Why do we sing songs of God? Why do we do these things? It's so important. And God gives us an admonition. Two things about this real quick. He talks about instruction. Instruction. In verse 7, he says, thou shalt teach. Teach. And notice the word after that, teach them diligently. You know, this is a teaching the Word of God diligently. And notice he doesn't say preach. He says teach. Diligently. Now, there's a fine line between preaching and teaching. I've given the illustration before of the fella when we started our church, Jim Meir. He came, he got saved on our first Sunday. He got saved in the Sunday evening service. His son was 7 years old. He got saved. And so that was our first soul saved during a service at Faith Baptist Church in Bern. But I remember they both got saved, and he and his son and his wife was already saved, and they started to grow in the Lord, and I was preaching about the home and preaching about the family altar, and one Sunday just talking about the family altar and how every home ought to have a family altar, but I wasn't real specific about the family altar. I just made a reference to the family altar. That afternoon, he calls me up on the phone. He said, Pastor, he said, I'm under conviction. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm under conviction about that family altar. I said, Jim, I said, what do you mean? I said, you just need to do it. He said, well, he said, you need to give me some instructions on how to build one. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I've got some wood, and I know how to build some things. Tell me how to build a family altar. And I realized then that I had not really explained, hey, you know, it's just a matter of you and your family sitting down, singing some songs about the Lord, reading some scripture, and just enjoying the Lord together. That's a family altar. You know, Dad, this isn't your time to get on your soapbox and preach to your wife about all her sins. Amen? That's not the time. Now, there is a time. No, but actually, there's not enough time, right, fellas? But anyway. Anyway, there went lunch. But that's not what it's all about. It's not a time. Well, you know, the kids are rebellious brats. We're going to get them, and I'll have a devotional that'll let them have it. That's not what family elder is all about. That's what discipline's all about. And if it's time to discipline, discipline. But if it's not, teach. Teach them that Jesus loves them. And teach them. You don't preach with a family altar. You just teach. You use the Word of God to do the teaching. And it works. It really works. And seriously, while they're a little baby, you ought to be quoting Scripture and talking about the things of God and tell them how much Jesus loves them. Amen. Many people have said the place to begin training your child is in the high chair. The electric chair is too late. It is. It really is. And you sing songs, and every parent ought to know Jesus loves me and Jesus loves the little children. And I was going to say Father Abraham, but we had an accident with that one recently, so we may not sing that. But and you ought to be able to quote Scripture and talk about it. You talk about Jesus being the shepherd, and you can tell Noah's Ark over and over again, and they love it. You know, David, I believe one of his first words, I think he said daddy first. I think Bren would argue that, but I'm not sure. But one of his first words was Bible. I do know that. I remember that very clearly. The first song he knew was Jesus Loves Me. And honestly, you know, that's because that's what we talked about. And that's what you should talk about. That's what God is saying here. It ought to be very obvious. It ought to be the thing on their mind more than anything else. It should not be, you know, what's going to be the end of that series on television? And I wonder what's going to happen to old so-and-so on TV. Most important thing ought to be, why do we do this? What's going on? Why did those guys come with those cups and bring those around? Why do we eat that little piece of bread? And that's why I announced we have the Lord's Supper. Great, great time to teach a young child about the cross and about Jesus and about him dying on the cross. Great opportunity. You know, if you just have the Lord's Supper and you don't tell your kids about the juice, I mean, I say some things from the pulpit, but here's a little child. Hey, how much better before that service if Dad sits down, turn off the dumb television and sit down and say, okay, kids, we're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight, and that bread represents the body of Jesus Christ, which was beaten and bloodied and hung on a cross so that we could be saved and go to heaven, and that juice represents the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed so that our sins could be covered and forgiven. What a great opportunity. And they just look at you. Wow. That's what he's talking about here. Instruction. Instruction as a young child. Instruction to be able to teach. That's what our Sunday school classes are all about. Amen. You know, I think about the average bus kid. This is their church. This is all they know. They don't go home and hear Bible stories. They don't go home and have a dad and mom pray with them at night. They don't sit at the table and talk about the things of God, which you should do. They don't do any of those things. And so we want, you know, even more so, we need to talk about the things of God more than anything else, certainly at church. And certainly in your home. That's what God says here. And again, that's another wonderful thing about a Christian school. What a blessing it is to have a Christian school. Oh, how we take that for granted. Oh, how so many parents take it for granted. It is just unbelievable to me. What a blessing to have your children under the teachers in our Christian school. I mean, many, many mornings. I'm telling you, we'll have our staff meeting and the school staff meets, and we always have a prayer time at the end of that. And I don't know how many days, if I were to count the different days, and I'm not always in there, but if I were to count the day, probably half the time, I hear during that prayer time, I hear weeping. And your child's name is being named. Oh, the love of a teacher for those children. But you know, we talk about the things of God. It's in math. It's in science. It's in history. It's in music. You talk about the things of God. You talk about what God's done. You give testimony of God's blessings. And eventually, a child will say, why do we do that? Oh, what an honor. What a blessing when they ask, why do we do these things? And, you know, have a family altar, read Bible stories, pray, and make it, this is normal. This is our life. Our life is a life with God. That's what Deuteronomy 6 is all about, where this is the normal way to live. This is what we do. We love God, and He loves us. And by the way, support what's said in Sunday school and in church. Support it. I can't imagine people going home and not talking about what happened in church. I can't imagine a parent not saying, what'd you learn in Sunday school? Hey, Throckmorton, what'd your Sunday school teacher teach you today? Talk about it. Amen. Hey, Clarabelle, what did your Sunday school teacher teach you today? Oh, Mrs. Rogers was weird. Amen. I mean, that happens often. I mean, she's got some illustrations these girls will never forget, honestly, with a lighter when she holds it up. Can men take fire in his bosom and not be burned? Anyway, you say, how do you know about it? She does it to me, too. I'm telling you, it scares me. Keeps me in line, I'll be honest with you. But seriously, support what's going on. Support what's going on. You know, what always amazes me, folks will bring a visitor to church, and then they'll, you know, from work or something, say, hey, I'd like you to come to our church. And then they come to the church, and then they complain about something that went on in the church. And what you just defeated everything. You should be excited about your church. Excited about Sunday school. Excited about what's going on. And support what is being said. Don't roast the preacher or teachers or leaders in the church. Be excited. Instruction, it's crucial. And all of it matters. And then secondly under this, in his admonition is illustration. He not only says to teach it, but he says, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, all of these things, show them how important God's word is by making it part of the whole day. I mean, when you leave, when you come home, it is totally part of my life. It's in my house, it's out of the house, it's when I walk by the way, it's when I get up, it's when I lay down, it's the Word of God's important. Hey, have your children ever even seen you reading the Word of God? I mean, reading it on your own. Not when you're preaching to them, I'm talking about just reading the Word of God. They've seen you watching TV a lot, but have they ever seen you read the Word of God? Ma'am, have your kids ever seen you read the Word of God? They've seen those other kind of books that you read. But have they ever seen you sit down and just reading the Word of God? They should. They should. Well, you know, it's my private time. But it shouldn't be private to your family. They should know you read the Word of God. Because they hear us talk about reading the Word of God. All the time. Always. Always teaching with our lives. Notice what says verse 8. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Every part of our lives should be dictated by Scripture. That's what he's saying. He's saying Scripture should be the reason why you do what you do. Scripture, the Word of God. Okay, here's why we do this. That God says this. That's why. It should be a part of everything. And if you can't give a scriptural reason, then you yourself, why do you do it? Amen. Teaching with our lives. I like this story. A preacher went to visit a family in the church, and lady was always kind of gave an appearance of being very spiritual. And preacher got there and went into the home. And the lady said, preacher was talking about Bible reading and everything. And the lady said to one of the children, said, darling, said, bring me my favorite book. so the preacher can see it. Child went in the other room, came back with a romance novel. Anyway, yeah, boy, do you hate it when that happens. That's always a bad deal. But again, you know, your life is so important. You can read Scripture and talk about Scripture and everything, but if you live differently, people around you are going to see through it. They're going to see through it. You know, you can't force relationships on people. You can't force somebody to get saved. You can't force somebody to be spiritual. You know, it's not possible to do that. We have our choices, but you can be consistent in what you do, and much of your teaching is what they see. It's what they're watching. That's why we have certain standards for our teachers. Amen? I mean, seriously, honestly, you know, if I got up here and started talking about last night going to the bar and drinking a few beers, you know, in moderation, I would defeat most of what I preach. Honestly, it would. If I got up and we're talking about submitting to authority. In our Sunday school class, and if I got up and laughed about, I broke the law here and did this and did that, number one, I would lose my congregation and their attention. They would think that's ridiculous. Number two, Carol would tell her husband, and I'd go to jail. Anyway, no, but you know, do what you say God says to do. Do what you say you believe. Don't just, you know, well, do what I say, not as I do. They're going to do as you do. And you better be backing up with your life what you've told them from the Word of God. Again, that's what God says day in, day out. That's what you're supposed to do. And notice verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes which He hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. You know, it can be a good land. Amen? This is the admonishment. God says, hey, teach it and live it. Instruct them with words and my word, and instruct them with your life. And whether it's your children in your home, whether it's co-workers, whether it's your family, they should know, hey, these people, they should know about you. The Word of God is the final authority. That should just be automatic. The Word of God is the final authority. You think about it. Last time you disciplined little Throckmorton or little Throckette, the last time, did you even use the Word of God? Did you even open your Bible? Well, it just happened so quick. They make me so mad. Yeah, and you're mad at them because they were mad. So you spank them because they were angry, and you were angry when you spanked them. Who's going to spank you? You see it. You see it all the time. Drives me nuts. That's why I don't go to stores. My wife does all the shopping. That's one reason. The other reason is I don't want to spend the money. But she does all the shopping. But you go into a store, and here's little Poindexter, and he grabs something off the table. Don't touch that! And he goes, I want it! She said, don't you yell at me! And you hear them both all the way down the aisle. You know, clear on the other side of the store, you can hear them both yelling, don't yell! You know, and I don't know how you do a timeout in a grocery store. Anyway, oh yes. My parents always called timeouts. They just did something during the timeout. And it was the red paddle that was about that big, had a handle about that big on it, and it covered a lot of turf. It dealt with many nerve endings. And when Dad said time out, time was out. Not only was time out because he called it, time out was because nothing else was going to happen for a little while after that, like sitting. But anyway, the admonishment from God is to be consistent with Scriptures in your house and your walk with God. And you know, again, you can talk and preach and yell and holler and scream, but if you're not living it, that's what they see. Number two is the asking. Number one's the admonishment. Number two, the asking. And they will ask. They will ask, why do we do these things? Verse 20, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? What's all that mean? When thy son asketh thee, when your children, when those people that you're influencing, when they ask, boy, what a wonderful thing. After all of the teaching, after all of the time comes, finally, they'll ask. They will ask. Why do we serve the Lord? Why do we go to church? I mean, again, this is Old Testament family and the idea, why do we do all this? And I honestly think you'll love this when they ask you. Again, some folks, I'll send them to the preacher. No, you should be able to answer. You should be able to answer. But the asking, why do we serve the Lord? Why do we go to church? Why do those people get wet back there? Why do we drink that grape juice? Why do we eat that little piece of bread? Why do we pass those offering plates around? Why do we, you know, all of these are great opportunities to lead them to Christ. And again, most of the time in a Christian home where your home is consistent and you talk about the scripture, at a very young age, they will trust Christ as their Savior. They will see it, they'll watch it, they'll be in the nursery. They hear it in the nurseries, they hear it in the 4 and 5 year old rooms, they hear it in primary church and in the primary Sunday school classes. If they go to the Christian school, they're gonna hear it there. Over and over and over, and they're going to hear it, and they're going to see it, and they're going to ask. And what a wonderful time it is when they ask. What a wonderful time. How many parents have led your own children to the Lord? Raise your hand. Look around. That is just an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, it's not the way it always has to be, and certainly it's not always going to be that way, but what a blessing to be able to lead your own children to Christ. And because you did these things. The last thing is number three, and that's the answer. Number one is the admonishment. Number two is the asking. Number three is the answer. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Go there. Keep your place here in Deuteronomy. And this is a familiar verse, 1 Peter 3:15. But it applies so much for this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What did he say in Deuteronomy? He said, get these things in your heart. Get my word in your heart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man. Well, is that the guy on soul winning? Yes, it is. Is that the boss at work? Yes, it is. Is that your brother or sister who's not saved? Yes, it is. Is that your children? Yes, it is. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What am I going to do for? I'm going to sanctify the Lord God in my heart. I'm going to set him apart in my heart. He's got a special place, and everybody knows it. And I'm going to be ready to give an answer. I'm going to be ready to give an answer. Why wouldn't you be able to answer your children when they ask why? Why do we do these things? Why wouldn't you be ready if you have the Word of God in your heart? And right here, we have just a very, very simple little plan as far as the answer that God gives here in the book of Deuteronomy. And verse 21, it says, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Hey, Dad, why do we go to church? Why I see you write a check, and one time I saw that envelope, and Dad, that's a lot of money you put in there, and you know I watched somebody get baptized. Why do we do that? Well, you know, I'm glad you asked. I am so glad that you asked, because there was a time that I was lost, and I was on my way to hell. And God saved me. Now, again, in the Old Testament, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. We were slaves. We were slaves. There was no hope, but God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Hey, you know what? You know, folks, honestly, why aren't you excited about your salvation? If anybody should see that you're excited about your salvation, it should be your children. It should be your grandchildren. It should be people that are around you. The Lord brought us out of Egypt. That's what you say to them. Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. God saved me. Notice chapter 7, verse 8. It says, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God saved us. Why do we? Because God saved us. That's why. God saved me. And he'll save you too. God took away the guilt of sin. And come on. People understand that guilt. Children understand that guilt. It's far easier to get a child to admit they're a sinner than it is an older adult. Far easier. And God forgives you of that. And God saved me and God took me out of that. In verse 22 it says, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. God helps us in a time of need. That's why. Why do I do it? Well, God not only saved me, but God helps me. God takes care of me. God provides for me. Parents, when you have a need, don't just keep it secret. Talk about it among the family. Pray about it. Let them see the miracle of God. I so appreciate testimony time and folks giving testimony and people getting to hear what God is doing in people's lives. It's a wonderful thing. But again, hey, grandma and grandpa, your grandkids ought to hear about what God's doing. Parents, your children ought to know what God's doing. Your people you work with ought to know what God's doing. You ought to tell people about that. God helps in time of need. What do I tell them? I don't know what to say. Tell them God saved you. Tell him God will help. God helps you in time of need. I owe everything I have to God. He loves me, takes care of me. God has done everything for me. I'm not worthy of anything that God has done for me. Notice God loves you. It goes on in chapter 7. He loves me. The Lord did not, chapter 7, verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. That's it. Just he loved you. He didn't see anything great in me. He just loves me, that's all. All he could see in me, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you tell people that. I was lost. I was wicked. I was on my way to hell. God loved me. God saved me. God always helps me. He always helps me. I love verse 23. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, to give us a land which he sware unto our fathers. He brought them out of Egypt that he might bring them into Canaan. Brought them out of the wilderness that he might bring them into Canaan. He always has to, you have to leave one in order to enter the other. And God did that for me. God did that for me. God brought me out so that I could enter in. God brought me out of bondage so that I could enter into the land of freedom. God brought me out of a boring life so that I could enter into a wonderful life with Jesus Christ. God brought me out of a useless, meaningless life so that I could enter into a life that has eternal meaning. Amen? God brought me out so he could bring me in. That's what you tell him. Well, why do we do all that? Because we love God. Because look what God's done for us. And he has an inheritance for us. Amen. He brought us out to bring us into something far better. Far better. And you talk about heaven. You do talk about verse 24. It says, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Why do the commands of God have to be so grievous? Why did he, what is it? The Lord commanded us to do these things, to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. What? Why? For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. That's why. It's not, oh, you know, God is just this mean taskmaster. No, God wants to take care of us. He wants it to be best for us. That's why. Why do you go to church? Well, God says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, you know, that's pretty mean. No. No, we need each other. That's not mean. That's not God just saying, I want you to get together so you can worship me. No. It's so much the more as you see the day approach. What day? A day of trouble, a day of persecution, a day of harm. We need each other. See, we don't think we do. And maybe right now, there's no real persecution of anybody here. Not like New Testament days. But you know, they knew what that meant. They knew what it meant that, hey, we got to get together. Hey, do you understand? My son, my daughter, our family was split up by the government. They were taken and put in prison. And that's what happened in the New Testament time. And God's people could put their arms around each other and say, I'm sorry, I'll pray for you and give comfort and help. I understand. We haven't seen that. Sometimes I think some of these laws and things that we're watching come to pass are because God wants us to maybe understand a little bit of why he said to do what he says to do. And that's what we teach our kids. That's what we teach those around us. Hey, God does require obedience, but it's for our good. It's for our good. Amen. I tell our basketball team, all the time. Now, I like to win. I really do. But I tell them, I say, you know what, guys? This does nothing for my resume. And it does nothing for my salary. I don't get a raise because we win a state championship. I think that's a great idea, though, over the last 2 years. Now, this year, we won't make it hinge on that. But I tell them all that, you know, guys, this is for you. Do you understand? That's what God's saying. Obedience is for you. Doing right is for you. It's going to help you. And why wouldn't we teach that to our children? Why wouldn't we teach them about, you know, because God does. And God promises us good always. For our good always, it says in verse 24. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. And you know something you should make always clear? God never lies. Chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God always keeps his word. If we even plant that seed of doubt with our children in our school, with our children at home, with our co-workers, if we even allow that seed of doubt that God might not, then what is true? What is true? You know, it should always be God always keeps his word. Well, why'd this go wrong? Well, God has a plan. It didn't necessarily go wrong. You don't know that it's wrong. All things work together for good. You know? Well, but Dad, I heard you say that you might be laid off. Well, you know what? God knows what's best. God has it under control. He's going to take care of us. That's every day in our home, the scriptures, the word of God in our hearts. It's every day. It's the thing we lead to, the thing we long for is to hear him say, okay, well, could you tell me why? I'd love to tell you why. I'd love to tell you why. Dad, why? You know, why do we go to church and other people stay home? Why do we? Oh, listen, we're not any better than anybody else. We just love the Lord, and we just want to please him. Look what he's done for us. You know, if you constantly gripe and complain and grumble about things that God has done and God's allowed, eventually, those around you are going to do the same. You'll say, I just don't understand what happened. You know, let's be consistent. Let's be consistent in our homes. Let's be consistent at work. Let's be consistent at school. Let's be consistent so that when they ask, why do we do these things? We'll give them the truth, the answer, and then they can make the choice. that we want them to make. Let's bow our heads, please. Head